Uncle Bill lived a magic life and did not know it. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you an instant inspiration. Now, Uncle Bill lived a magic life and he did not know it. Now, that's my Uncle Bill. My dad had about 7 or 8 brothers and sisters, and they lived in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and had a great show going on. Grandpa was a streetcar conductor of these electric cars that drove on the streets, you know, and Grandma ran the house and had a big garden around it. They had come over from Germany, from the Pomeranian part of Germany, which is now Poland, and they were standard Germans, you know. Achtung, you know, real tense and real definite. Actually, Grandma was more definite than Grandpa. But anyhow, they had all these kids, my dad included, and Uncle Bill was an uncle. And Uncle Bill came into my life at a time when I was young. We had a lake cottage out at Eagle Springs Lake, and we had our lake cottage on the level, on the probably the west side of the lake. Yeah, I'm sure it was. And Uncle Bill had his on a very steep hill on the east side of the lake. And to get to Uncle Bill's house, you had to be sober. Because you rode on the top of the Kettle Moraine Ridge. This is where the glaciers had come in and cut the grounds. And so there's little ridges of land going through this gullied land. And it was a good 3/4 mile, maybe more, to get into his place. And there was little going offshoots, you know, going to other cottages and other places. But you were up there high. And when if you went down, you went down. You went down maybe 100 feet or better, you know. So that led to Uncle Bill's house. And his house was right on the end. And there were several other houses there, but he built his house out of concrete, and he built his house very strong and very, very, very properly. And beautiful view. And he lived there virtually all his life, that I knew him, you know. So naturally, I would go over and visit Uncle Bill and Aunt Gussie, which is Augusta, Aunt Gussie. And Uncle Bill liked to fish, but he didn't really have the patience my dad had to go fishing. He would fish with a seine. He would take a sieve, you know, these big pieces of netting between two sticks, and then he would go across an area, and he'd bring up everything that came up, and he'd take it into Aunt Gussie, and she'd throw it in the pot, and he'd eat it. You know, it was everything, I tell you. And he would get us kids out there on one end of it to tilt it up and bring up even more. But he had some big pots of fish, and I tell you, I never did like them. But he ate them with the fins and with the scales and with the guts and with everything else. They went into the pot and they got cooked. They might have been 2 inches long, 1/2 inch long, maybe 5 inches long. It didn't matter. He just, and then along with maybe 2 or 3 gallons of beer. But he did like his beer and his other stuff, I'm sure. But Uncle Bill had another gift. He had a gift of music. And I played the clarinet and the sax, but not like Uncle Bill. Uncle Bill played the clarinet and the sax and other instruments that I wasn't aware of, perhaps, because I didn't pay attention to it. But and Uncle Bill's a big man. He's a roly-poly man. And he would roll into his car every evening and drive out of that Kettle Moraine Drive, you know, up on the edge of the ridgeback, you know, and get out to the highway, and then go to some local pub, some local beer barn or tavern, and where he was to play with his friends, and they played for dances and other things, quite often, not every single night, but often. And of course, while he's playing, part of the payment for playing is to have a beer, or 2 or 3 or 4 or 10. And so the more beer they got, the better they played. At least that's the way the people felt. They had more beer too, and they probably didn't notice the difference. But Uncle Bill and his friends, they just had so much joy, so much love, so much enjoyment in playing, that he really did live a charmed, magic life. And he would come home 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, maybe 3, and he would drive in on that road. And in summer nights, you know, it was okay, but you could hear him singing as he was coming down the road, happy as could be, and he stayed on the road. And in the wintertime, he went out, and that was slick with ice and snow, that's in Wisconsin. And yet he stayed on the road. He had trouble staying on the road on the flat areas, but where the ridgebacks were, he had no trouble. There was some sort of a guiding angel that brought him in, that flagged him in to make a perfect landing. But occasionally he'd be driving along a flat piece of road, and he'd maybe drowse off, and his car would run off the road, and you know, he was really speeding along at maybe 30, 32 miles an hour. And that's what the speeds were in those days, you know. And he'd go off the road, and the car would come to a stop, you know, and he'd sleep. And when he'd wake up, there he'd be, and then he would just take the car, put it in reverse, roll back on the road, and go on home. He did that any number of times. I tell you, he lived a magic, charmed life. And during the day, he'd go around selling real estate, and he was involved in the politics locally, and he was just an all-around, you know, involved person. And Aunt Gussie took care of the house and did a good job there, and she raised two daughters, one who went to Atlanta, Georgia, and married some fellow there, and another whose story was charming. Her name was Catherine. And Catherine was a charming girl, but Catherine had a boyfriend that Uncle Bill did not like. Uncle Bill could not stand Howard. And Howard would come around and Uncle Bill would say, "Ouch, out of my house." And that made Catherine all the more curious and interested in Howard. Uncle Bill had no magic there. He didn't realize what he was doing. So Catherine and Howie went across the lake, just two doors from our house, and they rented a cottage there. And they lived there year-round, and they got married, and that was their house. But they never told Uncle Bill they were married. They lived there for several years, you know, as a married couple, and Uncle Bill never knew. The whole countryside knew, you know. Everybody knew, but Uncle Bill didn't know. And Uncle Bill would wear his hearing aids, and when he wanted to, nobody heard him.
At that time, hearing aids.
And if he wanted to, nobody heard him. He heard nobody. Or if he wanted to hear it, he heard everybody. Mm-hmm. And he was quite an interesting guy. But his magic was not just limited to the little stories that I tell you here, which don't sound necessarily too magic, but they really were. Because that anyone could live a life like he lived and survive is really magic. Now, Uncle Bill retired. The time of his retirement was a holiday for everybody, because everybody could stop worrying about him. Nobody really worried about him, but they were curious as to what he was doing next. And so he went down to the, I'm mispronouncing this, I'm sure, the Umalachigugachi swamp in Florida, up on the panhandle of Florida. There's the a special swamp down there, and he bought some land there, and he lived there for quite a number of years, maybe 10, 12 years after he retired. And he and Aunt Gussie would drive down there in their Kaiser car, and they just enjoyed it, and they'd come back and tell us all about their adventures in Florida with the alligators and the swamps and the other activities that went on there. And we just thought that was the greatest thing in the world. But Uncle Bill, really, to this day, I could not tell you if he ever uttered a word. I'm sure he did. But I never heard him say a word that I have in my mind. And I lived at his house many months at different times when the folks wanted to go back in town because there was nobody at our lake cottage. So you go stay with Uncle Bill. So I stayed at his house. And helped him build his walls and build his buildings and things like that. But You know, he was a magic man, really a magic man. I can tell you all these crazy things that he did, but I cannot tell you not one memory of a bad thing that he did. Not one memory where he was mean, and he was mean, I'm told. I'm told he was a mean guy, he was a tough guy. And I'm told that he was, you know, not very nice to a lot of people. Some people thought that he, you know, misused them and stuff. But I do not know in my mind, in my heart, in my life, one mean thing Uncle Bill ever did. And Aunt Gussie, oh. Surely there was St. Genevieve. She was a princess from the word go. Aunt Gussie trained me like Mrs. DeSwart next door trained me. She trained me, because I stayed at her house, so I had to do my part, to polish her furniture. And she had all of this furniture with all the curved legs underneath, you know, and all the circles and all the, oh my goodness, wooden tables and with the Duncan Fife chairs with all the curvatures on them and all of the sewing machines. Everything was, you know, very rich and very dusty. And I had to do that every single day. But you see, I didn't have to do it every single day. I had to do every single day oil it. I had to put a special type of furniture oil on it. And I mean, my hands really were furniture oiled. But I had to do that. Then she had a big porch out in front. And she had a lot of porch furniture there. And it was the wicker type of porch furniture. And I had to clean that wicker type of porch furniture. And next door lived a young man who was maybe about 10 years older than me. And he lived alone with his parents. And he was maybe 18, 17, 18, just getting ready to go in service. And I always liked to go to Uncle Bill's house because I could talk to this guy. I've forgotten his name now. But he was such a self-confident boy, you know, the only child. So, and they had money, and he had his boats, and he had his toys, and he would take me out with him on his toys and treated me just like I knew what I was doing. You know, and I was younger than him, much younger. And I didn't know all the things he knew. But he just treated me like a noble gentleman. And I'll never forget him. And Sykes is his last name. Sykes, S-I-K-E-S. And his parents, I knew them well, but they are completely gone from my memory. I cannot see them, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I can see Aunt Gussie and Uncle Bill, and I can see Sykes, whatever his first name was, and this very handsome young man, you know, but I cannot see his parents, even though they were here and there and all the time, but they were not part of our world. And you see, Uncle Bill had magic. That's why I can't remember. His name is Bill Sykes, just like Uncle Bill. Interesting, isn't it? Bill Sykes. Nice guy. Real nice guy. Quality. He had, well, actually, now that I'm remembering it, he had a lot to do with Uncle Bill. Because Uncle Bill was training Bill Sykes in all the things that he did, in building, in musical instruments, in running boats. Uncle Bill was more, the primitive. He was the fundamentals worked with him. He could do all the things that had to be done. But he wasn't the spit and polish man. He wasn't the man who did the finished carpentry, you know what I mean? He was the carpenter, but not the finished carpenter. Bill Sykes was the finished carpenter. He was the quality person. And he's only 17, 18, you know, because shortly thereafter he went into service. And what an experience. Uncle Bill lived magic and he didn't even know it. And I remember driving some of his daughter's cars, not his cars, his daughter's cars, in and out of those Kettle Moraine hills that were going in there. And Uncle Bill heard that I was doing it. One of his daughters' name is Ruth. And he said, Ruth, you going to let him drive your car? And Ruth says, well, of course. I believe in him. Uncle Bill said, all right, I do too. And from that moment, he believed in me. And it took such a little thing, you know, because I did everything that he asked me, but he never saw me as the person who could do it myself until she said to him, I believe in him. But you know, those are little things. Like I say, he was a miracle man. And another thing I remember very much, very, very, very much, was they had 6 gallons of silver paint. Silver paint. And I painted everything they had silver. Everything. Every wall, every wood, the garage, the house. I painted everything silver. Not all at once, you know, just a little here, and just kept going, 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 until all the paint was gone. And they'll never forget me. Because everything they had was, but that's their fault. You know, they left it there and they said, use it. And I did. And I used it all. And by the time I went on to the Navy myself, everything they had was silver. And the concrete walls, the house, and everything. But Uncle Bill was the great man, because he advertised the place for sale as the Silver Palace. And the people came and bought it like that. And he went to Florida to retire. But I tell you, he was a magic man, and he didn't know it. He put causes in motion, he put things in motion, and he just, in my mind, in my life, in my world, was an honorable man. I know that other people didn't all feel that way about him, but of course they didn't know him the way I did. And of course it takes a magic man to see another magic man. And Uncle Bill was a magic man in my life. He lived a magic life, but he didn't know it. Do you live a magic life and you don't know it? I'm sure I live a magic life and I don't know it, because I just enjoy living my life so much. Have a great day, and I love you very much. Thank you.